sung there, laying your life down. I want you to hold that thought, because when I get to the end of the message, we're gonna come back to that thought. Not the same song, but the same thought. And that is this, that Jesus laid down his life to take care of our brokenness so that he can reconcile us, to bring us back into a relationship as friends. And there's some of us today that we're here and you don't necessarily feel like a friend of God. But today, when you leave those doors, every one of us can walk in friendship with God because of what he has done in bringing us back. And that is my prayer today. Won't you pray with me? Jesus, we come before you and we thank you that you laid down your life, that through your amazing grace, you reconciled us. You brought us back into a relationship with you. So Jesus, we are simply thankful. And we pray that this morning that you would work and you would do work that only you can do. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, church, how's everybody doing out there? You guys good today? Everybody good? It's 11:30. You're kind of there. I'm going to try this side of the crowd. How's this side doing? You guys good over here? Oh, they got you beat. All right. I'm not going to do the back and forth thing. I'm just going to trust in a minute you're going to be with me, okay? But seriously, I'm glad you guys are with us today. I hope you're having a great day, enjoying your day, connecting with Jesus. And maybe it's new for you to come to church. If this is a new experience, maybe it's your first time here at The Rock, man, thank you. I pray that you'll do what AJ told you earlier, and that's get connected. Either use the QR code in front of you, or you stop by the Connect wall on your way out, and we'd love to connect with you that way. Today, as we get started, I do want to say a special welcome to all of those who are listening in Spanish at this service. So would you guys do me a favor and just give it up for anybody who's listening in Spanish right now. We're thankful that you are part of the church, whether you're listening live right now or listening later on. Thank you for being part of it, all right? Now, we're in this series, and we're calling it The Way of Love, and with that, we've been looking at different words for love and talking about different ways that we live out love. Today, we're gonna talk about it from another angle, and I want to get started with just a little quiz. Like, I want to get started with a little feedback, a little interaction, and I'm literally going to test your knowledge of geography. I saw some of you go, uh-oh. Or here's another way to say it, or trivia, okay? Because I'm going to test you on some knowledge that you might have about states or cities, but it's more trivia than it is geography, okay? And so I'm going to ask a question, and you just shout out the answer if you think you know it, all right? So for instance, New York City is the Big Apple, okay? That New York City is the Big Apple. How many said that or thought that? Okay, I need you to be loud with me, though, when you think this, all right? So now you kind of know how the game begins or how it works. New York City is known as the Big Apple. How about this? Chicago is known as the Windy City. Very good job on that one. My daughter actually lives in downtown Chicago. Now, when I say downtown, I mean like one train stop from Millennial Park. She's like right in the heart of it. And she texted me after our 8:30 service. She says, "Dad, you mentioned the Windy City and you didn't mention me." Well, my daughter is a theater girl. She works in theater for a living. So the fact that she didn't get mentioned from stage, she was a little upset, okay? So right now, Mackenzie, we love you. We're thinking about you. But she literally texted me. She said, "The wind is blowing 33 mile an hour right now as I'm typing this." So it is the Windy City. How about this one? That Texas is the... Lone Star State, very good. Texas is the Lone Star State. I'm going to test you here. Indiana is the Hoosier State. It's kind of correct because we are Hoosiers. Is anybody from Indiana here? I know there's three of us at least from Indiana here. Oh, four? What do you mean, Victoria? Like, maybe. I don't know. Like, I drove through it once. You live there. All right, very good. Then we'll claim you as a Hoosier, right? Because that's what Indiana people are. We are Hoosiers. But the state motto is actually... Wow. That was the guy running sound. So it's like I can't offend him too much or he'll just turn me off. But RJ, that's dead wrong. The armpit of America is Ohio. Sorry. Not the southern part. I went to school in Cincinnati. But the northern part, like if you're around Sandusky, like it stinks up there. Like literally, okay? If you're from northern Ohio, you know what I'm talking about. The lake effect, all right? But Indiana is actually known as the crossroads of America. I know you might not know that, but for some reason, that's what we're called. Thank you, or maybe I should say, you're welcome. I just gave you knowledge for the day. How about this one? Virginia is for? Now, here's the interesting thing about Virginia being for lovers. I shared this with my wife on the middle of the week, said, hey, I'm going to kind of do this. I said, Virginia is for? She goes, I don't know. I said, lovers. She goes, that's dumb. I was like, baby, I don't know. In 1960s, it was a marketing campaign. It stuck forever. She said, no one will know that. Well, thank you all for making me right for once in my marriage, okay? Now, you all know it. That is like, woo, I'm there. Last one. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, which is ironic. Because if you know anything about Philly people, they're not always known for their love. And I'm not trying to call out any Philly people, but some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, Philly fans are known for being obnoxious. You might say passionate. We'll say obnoxious. There are actually websites dedicated to the heinous acts that Philly fans have done over time. No joke, literal websites we found this on, that Philly fans have thrown snowballs at Santa Claus. Like who does that? Come on. Philly fans broke the leg of the Washington's, back when it was Redskins, Washington Redskins mascots. Philly fans heckled Michael Irvin when he had a career-ending injury. Now, as a Philly fan, I totally get that against Dallas, okay? But you see what I'm saying? Philly is not known for the way they love, yet their city motto is the city of brotherly love. Well, here's where that comes from. It comes from the first part of the word Philadelphia. That Philly, if you were to go all the way back to the Greek language, that's where it got its root. There's a word called phileo. And that word phileo means brotherly love, right? That we've been in this Way of Love series where we've been looking at different Greek words. And we use Greek because the New Testament, that part of the Bible, was written in Greek. So we use these Greek words to help us understand the way of love. That we started on week one saying storge love. That means family love, like how you love as a family. Last week was eros, and we talked about romantic or sexual love. Next week is agape love. That's the word that is used most often in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. But this other one, phileo, which means brotherly. Not like brotherly like family, that's storge. Brotherly like, you're my brother. You're my sister. That we're in this together. We are friends. And Scripture will show us how as friends, we can walk in the way of love. And as friends, we walk in the way of love, not by serving our own emotions, but by having self-sacrificial actions. Remember, the whole time I've been saying that we don't want love to be a self-serving emotion. We want it to be a self-sacrificial action. And when it comes to friendship love, I think we could all do a little bit better at having self-sacrificial actions. I think we could all be better friends. That this goes for whether you're in middle school or whether you're a senior citizen, that we can all do better at loving our friends. So today, I'm going to get real practical, like ultra practical on ways that we can love better as friends. I'm going to encourage us to serve. I'm going to encourage us to warn. I'm going to encourage us to act, because that's what phileo love does. That's what brotherly love does, is it serves, that it warns, and that it acts. And we'll see this when we look at Scripture. We can go back to the story of Esther, that we've been studying this book for the last 3 weeks, and it's a book about a girl named Esther and a guy named Mordecai, who was her kind of older cousin, but also like adopted dad. And in Mordecai's story, we see a guy who served and warned and acted. It starts in Esther chapter 2. It says, one day, as Mordecai was on duty at the king's gate, two of the king's eunuchs, Bigthana and Teresh, who were guards at the door of the king's private quarters, became angry at King Xerxes and plotted to assassinate him. Now that, there's a lot to that story. I'm going to get to more of it later. But I want to start by just looking at the very beginning. It says, one day as Mordecai was on duty at the king's gate. That here's what that means. That he was serving the community and the king and the queen. On duty at the king's gate was different back then than maybe what we would look at today. See, back then, the king's gate, the city gate, it would have been the place where people from the community would have come to be served. It was the place where people would come to get wisdom. It was the place where people would come to even do like legal transactions. And they would get there and they would find the elders of the town or leaders in town or people of the town who could give them godly advice, who could help them along their way, that could even witness, like I said, like a legal transaction. Well, that's what Mordecai was doing. He was sitting at the gate serving the community, the queen, and the king. And just in that little part of the story, here's what I want you to see. That if we want to be better friends, if we want to be more loving of friends, put yourself in a position of service. Put yourself in a place of service. That Mordecai's place was at the gate. Your place can be inside of your friends' lives. That put yourself in a place where you can serve them. Because that's what people want out of friendships. Let's be honest right now. None of us want friendships that only take, 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 take. Right? Like, we don't want friends who suck the life out of us. And we've probably have all had friends like that. We've probably all at different times been like that, if we're honest. So what would it look like to have a change of mind, to have a change of thought, to have a change of heart, and actually said, rather than take, 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 I'm going to put myself at a place of service. And to do that, it means I will have to have a change of mind. I'll have to quit thinking self-serving emotions, and I'll have to start living self-sacrificial actions by honoring people better than myself, above myself. Romans 10 tells us how to do that. It says, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Philippians 2 says it this way, don't be selfish, don't try to impress others, be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Like, look at all the different words there. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't take to your own interests. Like this is showing us how to live in a way that serves our friends. And what I love about this verse is it's the verse right before it shows us how Jesus did this. That what Paul said is, he said, don't think of your own interests, but actually think of the interests of others like Jesus did. He says, have an attitude, have a mindset like Jesus, who didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, something to be held on to, but instead traded it in and came in human form as a servant. That he came in human form as a slave. The Greek word, and again, that's what the New Testament is written in, the Greek word there is actually doulos. That the word doulos means servant or slave. And that's how Jesus came. And he came and he lived this service type life. And then we see him, even on the night that he was betrayed, on his very last night on earth, we see him gathering with his disciples, his friends. And as they're eating dinner, he gets up from the table, he picks up a basin of water, he takes off his outer garment, picks up a towel, and then starts washing the feet of all the disciples. He washes the feet of Matthew and Bartholomew and Thomas. Then he gets to Judas. Judas, who he knows is about to betray him, and that he knows that Judas is about to sell him out, yet he washes the feet of Judas. And then he gets to Peter, and Peter's like, you ain't washing my feet. And he's like, no, Peter, I need to wash your feet, or you have nothing to do with me. And then Peter's like, well, then wash my whole body. And Jesus' like, no, bro. Ain't going there. Your feet are good enough, okay? What we see in it is Jesus serving. He put himself in a place of service. And if we want to be better friends, if we want to be loving friends, then we need to put ourselves in a place of service when it comes to our friends. But we also need to put ourselves in a place where we're willing to warn. See, putting yourself in this place where you serve your friends, that's step one. But then I'd also say that we also, if we want to be a loving friend, we have to be willing to warn our friends of danger that might be coming at them. Danger that is ahead of them. Danger of the things that they're stepping into. And honestly, I think as people, we're not very good at this. That I just don't think we're very good at warning people. I think we're probably the opposite of that many times. And rather than warning somebody, we actually encourage danger. That's how every fail video gets started. Think about it, just dudes in the room. How many times, especially when you were younger, were you sitting there with your guys and one of them said, I bet you can't do that. And Dustin, when they said, I bet you can't do that, you had to go and do it. Am I right? Like, I can't begin to tell you how many times I'd be sitting on my dirt bike, and one of my buddies would be sitting next to me on his dirt bike, and he's like, I bet you can't do that. And I'm like, oh, did you just challenge me? And anytime a dude hears, I dare you, you're like, oh, let me show you. But again, it always ends up in a fail video. And we can laugh at that side. But when somebody really fails in life, it's not funny, right? That when somebody gets hurt emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. But the reality is we catch ourselves in that place where we should warn and we don't warn. That were like, man, I see my friend getting ready to step into a dating relationship, and I know that dude is not good for her. I know that that guy is not good for her. I know that gal is not good for him. And I should probably tell her that, man, you're stepping into another relationship just like the one you just got out of, that you're going to try to fix him as you tried to fix the other guy, and you need to quit dating people to fix him. But instead of saying something, I'm just going to watch. That you see somebody stepping into a career decision, you're like, man, you're changing careers again. It's not a good move. I should say something, but you don't. You see somebody stepping into some sin in their life, and you're just like, man, I need to stop them, but I don't. And I think too many times as people, we just don't warn our friends. We don't have their back. And I know it's we say things like this, like, well, they don't want my advice, they just want my agreement, so it's not worth even giving. And unfortunately, that's true. Most people don't want advice, they want agreement. But a true friend is willing to give godly advice even if it's not in agreement with what the person is thinking about doing. That's what a true friend does. And a true friend would be willing to warn a friend, even if it might hurt the friendship, that you will love the friend enough to warn them, even if it might hurt the friendship. But again, oftentimes we don't, because we're like, well, if I warn them, then I'm going to hurt the friendship, and we love the friendship more than we love the friend. And we need to love the friend more than we love the friendship and be willing to step in. That's what Mordecai did. Mordecai. Remember, go back to the story. The guys were thinking about killing the king. So Mordecai stepped up, and it says this. It says, but Mordecai heard about the plot and gave the information to the queen, Esther. And then she told the king about it and gave Mordecai credit for the report. That Mordecai said, man, I've heard what might happen to the king, and I can't just let it sit there. I've got to tell the queen so she can tell the king. By doing so, he was risking his life. Because if the king would have investigated what was going on and found it to be not true, then Mordecai could have died. But Mordecai said, it's worth telling the king over this. I need to warn him and the queen about what is happening. Jesus did the same thing. Jesus warned the disciples. Remember, he served them. He got down and he washed their feet. Yet in the same discourse, in the same night, in the same room, he also looked at Judas and said, you're about to betray me. He gave him a warning. He didn't just let it slide. He spoke into his life in a way of saying, Judas, you can change your mind right now. Judas, you don't have to go there. Judas ended up leaving, so then Jesus warned the other disciples. He said, all of you are going to betray me tonight. You're all going to deny me. And Peter mouthed up, no, not me, Lord. I will never deny you. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, before the rooster crows tonight, you will have denied me three times. We see all of that inside of John 13. All inside the same. If you go over to Luke, Luke records it this way and says that Jesus also said to Peter, Satan is going to try to sift you tonight. He's going to tempt you. He's going to try to destroy you. And when he's done, return to the brothers and encourage them. What Jesus is doing is he's looking his friend in the eye and he's giving him a warning. And we need to do the same thing. But how do we do it? Because again, it's not easy. So let's just get ultra practical for a moment. How do I warn a friend when I see them taking a misstep? How do I step up like Mordecai did? How do I step up like Jesus did? Well, let me give you four things real quick. One, do it privately. You got a friend who's making a bad decision. You got a friend who's asking you for advice. Give them their warning privately. Never go public with it. You don't need to be jumping on social media and giving somebody a comment on Facebook of like, actually this. No, go to them privately. That we see it in Matthew 18, Jesus said this. If another believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. So go privately and warn your friend. Go properly. It says this in Ephesians 4. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body and the church. That if you want to be more like Christ, well, then go and speak the truth in love. That Jesus always came with full truth and full grace. John chapter 1, verse 14 says that he came in grace and truth. 100% grace, 100% truth. When we want to help warn our friends, the proper way to do it is speak the truth in love, in grace. Some of you have been at The Rock long enough, you remember how every now and then I use an illustration of an exercise band. That if you think about an exercise band, that it will have handles on it, and one side is truth and one side is grace, and if all you do is hold on to truth, you're doing nothing to bring strength. If all you do is hold on to grace, you're doing nothing to bring strength. But together, when you use together, then the tension is what develops strength. When you go to your friends, do so properly by giving truth with full grace. Go privately, go properly, go prayerfully. James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Here's what that verse is saying. Prayer moves the hand of God. That prayer works. And I'm so thankful that prayer works in a multiple of ways. But one way it works, even in this, is that it helps prepare me to give a warning. It helps the other person to receive a warning. Meaning that I need to do it prayerfully. The very first thing I do is I pray over myself. I pray into my life. I pray, God, I want to make sure I don't have a plank in my own eye or there's not something that I'm dealing with here before I ever go and warn my friend. And then when I'm talking with my friend, I'm praying over them because I believe that prayer will produce a wonderful result. That if I care about my friend, I'll go to them privately. I'll go to them properly. I'll go to them prayerfully. I'll go to them purposefully. And my purpose is to help them stay on the right path. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. That if I care about my friend, then I'm going to invest in their life. I'm going to speak into their life. And I'm going to encourage them to stay on God's path. It's what Jesus did to all the disciples. It's what Jesus did to Peter. He said, Peter, you're going to veer off the path tonight. But my prayer is that you'll get back on. And we should go to our friends. And we should do so with a purpose of helping them walk the path of God. Because a true friend, a loving friend, will serve, but a loving friend will also warn. And then I would add one more in there. A loving friend will act. A loving friend will act on behalf of their friend. That when I think about Mordecai's story, there was a point that happened inside his story. You see it in Esther chapter 3, that there was a guy named Haman. And Haman didn't like Mordecai. And Haman came to understand that Mordecai was a Jew. So rather than just get after Mordecai, he made a decision that he wanted to get after all the Jews. And so Haman went to the king, because Haman was the right-hand man of the king. He went to the king and he said, hey, the Jews don't really follow you the way they should. So how about you pass a law that on a certain day of a certain month, all of your people can kill all the Jews? And Xerxes, not thinking about it, said, fine, do what you want, Haman. So a law got passed on a certain day of a certain month that all the Jews could be killed. When Mordecai heard this, he tore his clothes, which was a sign of humility. He put on sackcloth and ashes, and then he went up and down the streets of the city praying and weeping and wailing and going before God on behalf of the people. Mordecai acted on behalf of his friends. He acted on behalf of the people. We see that in Mordecai. We see the same thing in Jesus. That Jesus didn't just serve us by coming to this earth. Jesus didn't just warn us by telling us about the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus also acted on our behalf. When he got arrested that night, he was acting on our behalf. When he got punched in the face that night, he was acting on our behalf. When he took a crown of thorns, he was acting on our behalf. When he took the whips across his back, he was acting on our behalf. When he hung there on the cross and the sins of the whole world were upon his shoulders, he was doing it on our behalf. He was acting. He was loving. Because that's what friends do. If you go back to John 13, it reads like this. It says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Again, think about the context of Jesus saying this. He just washed their feet. He just warned them of their betrayal, and then he just told them about his crucifixion. He's saying, as I have loved you, love one another. It goes on in John 15, he said this, this is my command, love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, Jesus acted on our behalf and called us friends. That Jesus died so that I could be friends with God. So I want to wrap up this message. As one friend speaking on behalf of another friend to a group of friends. And I want you to hear what I've shared today very practically, but I also want you to hear it at your heart level. Like, I want you to live it with your hands and with your feet. I want you to serve. I want you to warn. I want you to act. But I also want you to hear it at the heart level. Because as one friend speaking on behalf of another friend to a group of friends, this is what I want to say. You can be friends with God today. Then no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, you can be a friend of God. That Jesus acted on your behalf, on my behalf, on our behalf, and went to the cross and died so that our friendship could be restored. And you might be here today, and if you're honest, you might sit there and say, I want to be a better friend. But first, I have to admit that I simply need some friends. Now, you might be sitting here today and feel lonely, feel lost, feel isolated, and feel like you don't have any friends. And I want you to know you're at the perfect place today. Because today, you can find a friend in Jesus, and you can find some friends at the Rock. That you can find a friend in Jesus. And all you have to do is come back to him. Get on his path. Now, as a friend speaking on behalf of a friend to a group of friends, I have to give you a warning. Which honestly, I do it every week, or Clay, or anybody who's up here communicating. We give warnings every week. Warnings to say, get back on the path of God. Walk the path of God. And here's why we do it. Here's why I give a warning today. Because if you walk off of this path of God, if you're not walking with God, if you're not in friendship with God, the path leads to destruction. See, there's a path that leads to God, and every other path leads to destruction. And I care about you as a friend to plead with you, to beg of you, to be reconciled back to God, to enter into a friendship with God. Because the path that leads to destruction, it's a path of eternal consequences, of a place that we call hell, where you will be separated from God for all of eternity. But the path of God leads to life. Life both here on earth and life eternally. So I want to encourage you today, return to a relationship with God. It's the warning I give, but I give it prayerfully and I give it purposefully. And some of you today need to go to that connect corner right there. I'll be standing there. I see that Jody's standing there. Eric's there. We would love to pray over you and pray with you right now. And help you enter back into a friendship with Jesus. So I'm going to invite you to do me a favor and stand with me right now. And as we stand, we're going to go into this time of response. And for some of us, it's a response time of going, Jesus, I need to follow your example. And I need to start serving and warning and acting as a true friend. Some of us today, we need to find friendship in Jesus. And you need to find friendship here at church. And you can do that by jumping on one of our serving teams, jumping in one of our small group experiences, jumping onto a small group. You do not need to walk this path alone. Walk the path of God with your friend, Jesus. Jesus, we come before you right now. And I pray. I just pray over my friend. I pray that we would walk with you. The one who laid down your life so that we could be made whole. Jesus, we recognize your love. And we respond to it right now. In your name. Church, let's respond.